some locals are taking on a challenge of a 2.2-kilometre swim tomorrow. It's more than just a swim. It's about raising funds for an incurable form of childhood cancer. It's probably, you're more familiar with, I suppose, DIPG, but we're going to find out exactly what the childhood cancer is. Associate Professor Matt Dunn is a cancer researcher and is organising the swim and joins me now. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, Hamo.
Can you tell me, first of all, the cancer DIPG, what does that stand for?
DIPG is a diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, and it's a brainstem cancer. So it's a very highly aggressive cancer that's diagnosed within the brainstem of a child and usually seen in kids, most often diagnosed at 7. And unfortunately, kids only live for about 9 to 11 months after diagnosis, and we still don't have a recognised treatment, even though 20 Australian children will die of it each year.
So what... well, I'll ask you first of all, I know you've been touched by this cancer. Just give me the background there.
Sure, more than touched. Our lives have been turned upside down when my daughter Josephine was diagnosed at the age of 2 3/4 with DIPG in early 2018. And we were struck, particularly as a cancer researcher, by the lack of treatment. We were pretty much told to go home and make memories. And the lack of knowledge about the disease. You know, as a cancer researcher, I'd hardly even come across it. So my wife and I, my family and friends and our wonderful Hunter community have banded together over the last 3 years to try and change these statistics and try and do something about it.
So tell me this, what are the symptoms? How is this cancer diagnosed?
So it's always diagnosed at the most advanced stages, and we grade cancers from 1 to 4. And in 90% of cases, we diagnose DIPG in grade 4. And anyone that's been touched by a cancer journey knows that once you get to that advanced cancer stage, there's little that can be done for any kind of cancer. The kids are diagnosed at grade 4, and they're usually diagnosed as a result of some kind of loss of function. Usually one side of the body experiences significant weakness. And so that gets worse really quickly, and you can kind of notice that even some of the eyes start to turn in, the loss of the ability to have any kind of coordination. And indeed, Josie was diagnosed following her daycare educator, noticing that she was unusually clumsy. And that kind of sounded off some alarm bells, particularly for my wife, who took her into the John Hunter Hospital on a Saturday morning after she refused to walk. And then yeah, the rest of the day played out in front of us when, you know, an MRI was ordered and our worst fears become reality in that afternoon.
So, Matt, straight away, and you would know as an associate professor and cancer researcher yourself, that this news was the worst possible news and that there was little or no treatment that could turn this around.
Yeah, and that's pretty much still the state of play, Hamo. So, of course, our goal was, of course, to do everything we could to enjoy our time with her. But, you know, being in the position that I was, I kind of took it on the chin and got my team together. And that evening was already Skyping with, or back then, before Zoom, with the world's leading researchers and clinicians in DIPG and some wonderful researcher and paediatric oncologist had sent almost immediately all of her cells that they were growing in the lab that they'd taken from kids that had died from DIPG and managed to get them to grow in the lab. And then as Josie's journey continued, you know, as a parent, when you undergo things like this, you pretty much move into the hospital. So, you know, the literature got broken out and I really tried to dig into some of the drivers that were known about the disease and then to investigate therapies that may help. And we found one particular drug that may have an effect, and I contacted a company which happened to be an Australian company, and they gave me the drug to test on cells that we were growing in the lab, and they seemed to show quite a bit of efficacy. And following on from that work, we've had a clinical trial in America. Josie was the first child to receive that drug, and now we're about to open another clinical trial, an international clinical trial that will combine that drug with another drug that we've optimised in our lab in Newcastle at the Hunter Medical Research Institute, University of Newcastle, to showing some effect, and we have 5 kids on the combination therapy around the world.
Matt, are you optimistic that things are going to move quickly here? Are you optimistic that there is going to be, you know, a leap forward from where this research is right now and where this treatment is right now for DIPG?
Yeah, I think this is the critical moment of time. I think we've identified that for the first time that there are some drugs that can slow the growth of tumour. I don't think there's the right drugs yet developed that are going to resolve the tumour. But I think some of the work that's going on in America, which are using quite sophisticated approaches where they take the patient's immune cells, there's potential that we can train the body's immune cells to recognise this horrific cancer and get it to kill off the tumour. But the child has to be pretty well to go onto that kind of aggressive treatment strategy. So there's always going to be a place for some kind of pharmacological, using drugs that are safe, to stop the cancer in its tracks until the children can get healthy enough to get onto that kind of aggressive, sophisticated, immune-based therapy.
Matt, what's happening tomorrow with the swim?
So dive into the ponds, and that's a play on words. You know, the DIPG is diagnosed in the pontine region of the brain. I'm classic for ponds, puns. And so 15 of the most ordinary swimmers that I know, no offence to those swimmers, are getting together and swimming on average about 1,200 metres each swimmer, and will swim 20 kilometres in total in a relay style event. 20 kilometres is important because 20 children in Australia will be diagnosed with DIPG and 20 children will die each year. And in Australia, you know, that's 1/5 of all childhood cancer deaths from DIPG, from a disease that, you know, nobody even knows about. So, you know, we're committed for advocacy and trying to raise a little bit of money to help our work along the way.
So the goal, apart from the awareness factor again, which I know the great work that the Mark Hughes Foundation do in terms of brain cancer research and fundraising, have sort of, you know, put it on the map in many ways, because I think Mark, with his experience with brain cancer, basically said, you know, it's just not known about. It's not on the horizon in many ways. Apart from awareness, is it, what else would you like to see happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, the awareness is important because, you know, when we go to our local members and we talk to them about the important things to the Australian community, you know, the health of our kids is almost the number one priority, followed closely by education. So healthcare is important. Without a healthy family, you know, there is no quality in life. So advocacy is very important. We're also trying to raise some money. We're going to start an international clinical trial here, run out of Newcastle, you know, this year. These things are expensive. The government will hopefully come on board. I'm sure they will in some regard, but they're into co-funding models these days. So any kind of funds that we can raise will help us fund that trial, and it keeps the work going. And like I mentioned before, our trial probably isn't the silver bullet. I'm pretty confident we can buy some time for children, but we need to keep working very hard in the lab to figure out what makes this kind of cancer tick and what kind of drugs we can make, new drugs that we can make that might so benefit.
What do you need to do to get the government interested in things like this?
Yeah, I think that there is an appetite for interest in these kind of things, particularly in Australia. You know, we come from working class stock, you know, particularly in Newcastle, we fight hard for what we believe in, and we're very loyal and patriotic. I think these kind of cancers touch all of us really deeply, particularly for us, of course. But, you know, in the Hunter alone, there's been 3 beautiful girls die of DIPG in the last 3 years, and that's a disproportionately high number of cases in the Hunter alone. So getting the information out there, continuing to build our research and get it recognised as an international hub of DIPG research, and inviting other innovative and forward-thinking researchers and clinicians to join the team so we can make some inroads, so that we can, you know, make a real difference for kids that are diagnosed with DIPG as soon as we can.